We've been working our way through the Apostles' Creed for the past few months. And today we come to the end of the series, and we do this by looking at what is possibly the greatest statement in this creed. And it may be actually the greatest statement in the history of the church. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting, or the life eternal. Let us hear the word of God from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Has anybody here ever been to the Museum of Modern Art in New York? I'm sure that a number of us have been to the Museum of Modern Art. You might recall, as you have gone through those exhibits, a very large work by Jackson Pollock. It is called One Number One. The amount that I know about art is really from my freshman class in college, but it's hard not to notice this work. It's one of the largest paintings that's ever been made. It stands somewhere between 8 feet and 16 feet, 8 feet by 16 feet, and it's enormous, an enormous masterpiece of the drip technique. Now imagine you're visiting MoMA and the curator recognizes you and pulls you aside, that a discovery has been made, and Jackson Pollock actually wrote a letter back in 1955 leaving this painting to you. One Number One is now your painting. This 8 foot by 16 foot painting belongs to you. What would you do with an 8 foot by 16 foot painting? Now, I suppose that most of us wouldn't necessarily have a wall large enough in our house to display this. In fact, that painting may be larger than my entire house. But now you've got this painting that you cannot display, and all of a sudden, this unexpected gift gives you a choice. What do I do with this amazingly large, priceless gift? I suppose I've got some choices. I can take this painting and cut it into smaller pieces, pare it down, cut away at the edges so that it's small enough to fit on a wall of my house? Or do I find a place appropriate enough, large enough, that's got a wall that could display this priceless treasure? Someplace that others could see it also. Do I size the gift small enough to display some of it myself? Or do I find a large dwelling place to display the enormity of the gift? And I wonder whether or not the story of the resurrection is like a priceless treasure that we are gifted. We generally celebrate Easter in the spring, but in a week where we sang Joy to the World last week, we can certainly follow that up by singing Jesus Christ the Lord is risen today. We are called to be people of the resurrection. When we get up on Sunday mornings, the day of the week when the Christian church gathers, we gather because we celebrate Jesus' resurrection on Sundays. And we arrive at the church with our family and we meet our friends here. And we've read the Easter story this morning. And we've heard about the original cast on that first Easter morning. And on that first Easter morning, the gospel writers tell us that a cast of unsuspecting people were greeted with an empty tomb. And then the appearance of the resurrected Jesus. They were presented with a picture of life as they had never seen it before. A reality that up until then did not exist. Jesus has now been raised from the dead, and now the world was a world that had resurrection in it. And not only did the world have resurrection in it, but now their lives had resurrection in them. Resurrection is a really big thing. I've officiated many funerals over the past 13 years, and many have been interred in Prospect Hill Cemetery. And imagine my shock if I interred somebody on a Friday, and then 3 days later on a Sunday went back over, and that grave was uncovered, and the person that I had interred on Friday was now walking around. Resurrection is big. Resurrection is something that blows your mind, it blows your soul, it blows your life. If you have that kind of experience, then you have to make a choice. And the choice is, are you going to take something as big as the resurrection and cut it down? Make it fit in your present life and hold it all for yourself? Or will you grow your life large enough to the scale of what took place that first Easter morning and share it with others? And what happened to those early believers was that the resurrection took hold of them and it began to expand. That's one of the things about the Christian story, isn't it? It's filled with people whose understanding is constantly expanding. From those first moments of resurrection, the lives of those who experienced the resurrection began to expand. They had to. They had to live into the resurrection. And if you live into the resurrection, your life expands. The New Testament is filled with people who could not help but see their lives get bigger and bigger because of the expanse of the resurrection. You remember them, don't you? Peter the denier, Thomas the doubter, Paul the persecutor. There were women and frightened disciples. All people who were leading pretty small lives up to that point, and all of a sudden, resurrection had come. And life all of a sudden was about expanding their understanding because the resurrection changes everything. They'd been given the gift of eternity. Eternity. Do you know what eternity is? Eternity is the absence of time. Or maybe I should say that eternity is having all the time in the world to focus on the most important things. This priceless gift of eternity had been given to the disciples. And now they no longer had to worry about time. They no longer had to look at the clock. Now they understood that every moment had the possibility of expansion. Every moment of life could be inhabited by the expanding presence of the Holy Spirit. Every moment of life does not need to be bound by a calendar. We no longer try to cram things into life before hitting that statistical category that tells me whether or not I've surpassed the average life expectancy, because that no longer is the finish line. Now they believed in the resurrection of the dead and the life eternal. Friends, life eternal doesn't begin when you die. Life eternal begins with the resurrection. Life eternal is right now. And now every moment grows bigger, every hour grows bigger, every day grows bigger, because within them was the resurrection. And the resurrection expands. Without resurrection, you work on a deadline. It's an interesting word, deadline. When you work on a deadline, time gets short. Time is something that you run out of. Preachers know this. We got to bring something to the pulpit every week. There's a deadline. We say we don't have enough time. Time is short because we have deadlines. So we hurry. We grow impatient. We worry. We give up on the moment. Do you wonder whether or not that's what Jesus was trying to teach us when he taught about the story of the Good Samaritan? You remember the story, don't you? The man, a Jew, who is beaten and left on the side of the road. And what does he need? He just needs for someone, anyone, to have the time to stop. He needs someone who's not on a deadline. But the religious people walk on by. The priest and the Levite, they walk on by. We don't know why, but we can assume that they just didn't have the time. But then the Samaritan of all people, he's got the time. And for him, eternity is in that moment. Eternity is when time stops and a beaten man's needs are expanded into your life. Now all of a sudden you've got all the time in the world, time to stop, time to put a bandage on, time to put him on your animal, time to walk him to a nearby inn, time to pay for his care, time to even come back and see how he's doing. You've got time. There are no deadlines, not for the Samaritan. What if every moment for every person was a resurrection moment? Jesus said that whatever you do, give your time to the sick, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, visit a prisoner, and let the oppressed go free. For if you do, it's as if you're doing it for Jesus. It's as if you're spending time with the eternal, resurrected Jesus. George MacLeod, the great 20th century Scottish minister, told the story of a little girl coming to his study just before leaving for her first day of school. And she was coming to show him her first school uniform. But as MacLeod recalls, he was busy writing letters and he was running out of time. She came into my room, MacLeod writes, in her first school uniform. And I, from my hurriedness, I looked up. And all I could say was, "Your tie is not quite straight." And then I realized that I had lost the moment, the eternal moment. To everything, the great poet of the Old Testament writes, to everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Time. We want it so badly, don't we? I've told you this before. I did hospice work for a number of years, thousands of patients throughout the years. And at the end, not one of them wished they had less time. They all wished that they had more time to focus on the most important things: loving family, spending time appreciating the beauty all around us, caring for other people. We have this precious gift of the resurrection. What will we do with it? Will we take this precious gift, this gift of eternity, and whittle it down so it can fit comfortably within our lives, so we can have it when we get to our deadline, so we can present our eternity card, our fire insurance policy, and somehow by virtue of that enter into eternity? Was that really the message of Jesus? Friends, eternity is right now. The life everlasting is now. And when you open your life to expand, to welcome resurrection, all of a sudden your life gets bigger. And more of those people and places and causes that you think that you don't have time for, now there seems to be all the time in the world. Marie Howe says it well in her poem, Hurry. Thinking of the message that she sends to her daughter as she lives a frantic life of being a mom, she writes, "We stop at the dry cleaners in the grocery store and the gas station in the green market, and hurry up, honey, I say, hurry." As she runs along two or three steps behind me, her blue jacket unzipped, her socks rolled down. Where do I want her to hurry to? To her grave? To mine? Where one day she might stand all grown? Today, when all the errands are finally done, I say to her, "Honey, I'm sorry I keep saying hurry. You walk ahead of me, you be the mother." "And hurry up," she says over her shoulder, looking back at me laughing. "Hurry up now, darling," she says. "Hurry, hurry," taking the house keys from my hands. Friends, I promise you something this morning. Someone, within a very short amount of time, someone in your busy schedule, someone in your life of deadlines, calendars, and appointments, someone within a very short time will come and make an unexpected request of you. It might be your child. It might be your parent. It might be a neighbor or a stranger.
or someone who is thirsty or lonely or in prison or oppressed. I promise that someone will come to you and ask you for your time. And it is at that precise moment that you will feel the tug and the pull. And that tug and that pull is the resurrected life. The resurrected life that is trying to expand in you. And you're going to have to ask yourself, do I have the time? Do I have the time? Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life eternal? Amen.